Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now. It's a Monday live on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together bright and early on this Monday to open up a new week up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. 3 hours on this Monday on the early line. We look back on the opening weekend following the All-Star break around the association in the NBA. The home stretch, the playoff push well past the midway point of this 2023-24 NBA campaign. March is just 4 days away. That's when the madness intensifies in college basketball, but we got some chaos on a Sunday and, of course, on a Saturday as well. Everything you need to know from the weekend to set up a new week here on the early line on this Monday.
New week, new money, Ben, as we like to say, and certainly have that for you, because why? Friday morning starts a new month is March. It's March Madness, and away we go. Oof. And also, there still are a lot of hot topics in college football and also in the NFL. Tag season is upon us, which then flows into free agency and the draft, and away we go. It's almost March, people. Let's get you ready for it.
Football never stops either, as DRS just broke down. But as we look back on a big Sunday slate around the NBA, a marquee matchup out in San Francisco. The Golden State Warriors playing really good ball at the moment against the reigning NBA champs in the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets booked as a slight road underdog in San Francisco, getting 2 points inside the Chase Center against the Dubs, and Denver made good on that number, winning outright as an underdog, 119-103. We'll show you the full recap as we get things rolling here on this Monday in just a moment. But first, let's bring in that Sports Grid Radio audience. Hour number one of a Monday, the opening hour of the opening day of a new week here on the early line. Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. And Nikola Jokic, looking even more like that MVP frontrunner and odds-on favorite for Denver, as the Nuggets win outright as a slight dog on the road in San Francisco over Golden State, 119-103.
An incredible performance out of Nikola Jokic last night, 32-16-16. And oh yeah, chipped in for 4 steals as well in that victory. But sometimes you go just as far as your superstars go, Ben. We saw Jokic had a big night. You flip it over to Steph Curry. If I tell you he shot 1 of 10 from 3-point range, it's probably not going to end well for the Warriors, and it didn't. 119-103. Nice victory for the Nuggets here. We'll see what the Golden State Warriors have in store this week for us.
Denver wins outright as a 2-point dog. We'll look at every number you need to know from around the association and that game in just a few moments. But we keep going with the recaps and the headlines that you need to know. LeBron James out there for the second consecutive night for the Lakers against the Phoenix Suns in the Valley, but no difference. The Suns win outright, and they win by double digits, 123-113. LeBron, a double-double, 28 points, 12 dimes. Anthony Davis, a double-double, 22 points, 14 boards. But everybody in Phoenix's starting lineup, all five, scored at least 18 points, and the Suns win by 10, 123-113.
Yeah, not exactly the performance we were looking for the Lakers, but again, it gets back to the Suns. We're still waiting on the big three, as it was Kevin Durant and it was Devin Booker out there, but guys like Grayson Allen chipping in for 24 points, Royce O'Neal, 20 points there. That's a great performance out of the Suns starting lineup as we wait for the big three to come back, but we talked about it many times with the Lakers. I don't know how hard they're going to get pushed to get knocked out of that play-in round, so it is what it is at this point, just hoping they stay healthy and just can play decent basketball the rest of the way, Ben.
The Suns cover as a 3.5-point home favorite. They've actually covered in their last 9 wins dating back to the end of January, well before the All-Star break. The first win for Phoenix following the All-Star break last night at home against Los Angeles. The hottest team in the Western Conference entering yesterday, the Dallas Mavericks, winners of 7 in a row. They took that win streak on the road to Indianapolis, and it came to a close. The Pacers win by 20-plus, 133-111 over Dallas. A total of 251 still somehow stays under as Indiana snaps the 7-game win streak for the Mavs.
Yeah, how about this, too? Siakam only scores 12 points along with Halliburton at 17, but it was Turner that chipped in with 33 points. You're not going to win every game in the NBA. You've had a nice run here for the Mavericks. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you, and particularly, Ben, on the road. Blowout victory, but this shows some of that potential of what the Indiana Pacers can be here in the Eastern Conference.
Every starter for Indiana scores at least 14 points. They had 2 guys off the bench scoring double digits as well for Indiana last night, who has won both of their games following the All-Star break. They have covered in both, under in 5 of their last 6. Big news around the association from an injury perspective. The Atlanta Hawks, the worst cover team in the NBA, but trying to make a move here in the home stretch. They kept DeJounte Murray and Trae Young in the backcourt, looking to maybe make a move up the Eastern Conference play-in tournament spots at this moment. It's going to be a harder path moving forward. Trae Young, an injury to his finger. He is out for at least 4 weeks when he will be reevaluated by the Atlanta organization.
Yeah, it could be trouble there, but also they handled it quite well against Orlando Magic, blowing them off the court. The one thing we didn't see yesterday also was Paolo Banchero on the court. We saw him with a game-winning shot against Detroit and basically say, man, I'm really under the weather, so no surprise he missed that Atlanta Hawks game. But still, that's a great victory for the Hawks without their superstar. And also, as we talk about making the play-in rounds, we don't think anybody's going to push them out of there, so maybe it's a good time to get an injury, and maybe he'll be back healthy for that playoff run now.
Atlanta is 7 games below 500, 25-32, despite the 17-point win over Orlando at home last night. Still a 3.5-game cushion for the Hawks over the Nets for that 10th and final spot in what would be the Eastern Conference play-in tournament. DeJounte Murray only a rebound away from a triple-double last night, 25 points, 11 dimes, and 9 rebounds. A big day for Zach Edey as Purdue goes on the road, if you want to call it that. It felt like West Lafayette and Mackey Arena, even inside the Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor, as Purdue wins 84-76. Zach Edey, 35 points for the Boilers, but the Wolverines do cover as a 13.5-point underdog. That was the 20th loss this year for Michigan. It has been a disastrous season, but the first cover in a loss for the Maize and Blue all year long.
Got to start somewhere, I guess, here for Juwan Howard's boys. But you're right, 8-20 overall, 3-14 in the Big Ten, getting hammered at home by Purdue. That's a nice win for Purdue. 35 points, as you said, but also Edey, 15 rebounds. This is why he's probably going to be back-to-back National Player of the Year. Easy win for Purdue, but where does Michigan go, particularly in the offseason at the head coaching position, Ben?
I think they will be looking for a new one. EDA minus 3,000 favorite to win the Wooden Award. He would be the first back-to-back National Player of the Year in men's college basketball since Ralph Sampson of Virginia in the early 1980s. The player who's going to win the Player of the Year once again in women's college basketball, her name is Caitlin Clark, and she adds to her record book yesterday in a 101-85 win over the Illinois Fighting Illini, a 16th career triple-double for Clark yesterday, 24 points, 15 boards, 10 dimes, 5 this year for Caitlin Clark in terms of triple-doubles. And in a return to the United Center last night, Patrick Kane, now a member of the Detroit Red Wings, hits the game winner in overtime over the Blackhawks. More around the association up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Around the association we go on this Monday live right here on the Early Line. A big Sunday slate in a marquee matchup up in Northern California between the Golden State Warriors and the Denver Nuggets. The Nugs, the reigning NBA champs. The Dubs playing really good basketball on either side of the All-Star break. Both Denver and Golden State entered last night's game against one another in San Francisco, winners of both of their two games following the All-Star break. But the Dubs did not make that three in a row. Denver did. And the Nuggets were booked as an underdog, which stood out to me, on the road in San Francisco against the Warriors as Denver wins outright 119-103 as a two-point dog against Golden State.
Yeah, it was a big-time win there for the Denver Nuggets because we still have to keep in mind, we do expect them to be one of the favorites here in the Western Conference to win the Western Conference, but also, you know how to make that path easier in the Western Conference is? Yeah, get the top number one overall seed and see if you can track down either OKC and or the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's a great win here because we saw that upstart from the Golden State Warriors, that sprint in the second half of the season. The team is finally healthy and maybe working Klay Thompson in off of the bench, but if you're not going to get great performances out of guys like Steph Curry, you're not going to win basketball games. And a 1-for-10 from the three-point line isn't enough to get it done. This was a really competitive game right up to the fourth quarter. We had a 28-16 fourth quarter here for the Denver Nuggets to finally put away the Golden State Warriors. But this is what we expect here, the steady hand of the Denver Nuggets. But the Golden State Warriors are a little bit of a wild card here, playing better basketball. But again, you need your stars to play well. Denver Nuggets, their stars played extremely well. You didn't get that reciprocation, from the Golden State Warriors.
And that main star for Denver continues to add up triple-doubles, continues to strengthen his price to win the NBA MVP award for the third time in the last four NBA seasons. Of course, that is Nikola Jokic. 32 points, 16 boards, 16 dimes. The Denver Nuggets have played three games after the All-Star break. Nikola Jokic has recorded a triple-double in all three of those games for the Nuggets. The Nuggets now have won all three of their games after the All-Star break as well. Again, 32, 16, and 16 last night to lead Denver. Just the ninth game of the year for the Nuggets as an underdog. They weren't great as a dog entering last night. 3-5 against the spread. Two of those three covers, an outright victory. Now make that a 3-6 straight up record as an underdog. 4-5 against the number. Golden State, meanwhile, entered last night victorious in 8 of its previous 9 games, covering it all 8, under in 7 of the 8 wins. Total stays under once again, 232.5. But Steph, as you alluded to, Donnie, just 1-10 from deep last night. Klay Thompson, in his new role off the bench, 5 triples to lead Golden State with 23 points. Just not enough against Denver a night ago.
No, it certainly wasn't good enough there. And you have to have all cylinders firing going up against the Denver Nuggets, because if you do just take a look at that starting lineup, Jokic gave you the 32 with the incredible, tremendous triple-double with 16 points and 16 rebounds again. But Jamal Murray also played 36 minutes on the road, 9 of 16 from the floor, which included 3 of 5 from three-point range and 6-for-6 from the charity stripe to chip in with 27 points. We know the Denver Nuggets are good. It'll be interesting to see what we get out of the Warriors, because the one thing we do know is the Warriors have to stay healthy and rested down the stretch to do any damage if they want to in the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see how they get there and how healthy they are. But the one thing we do know, when it's all finished, said, and done, the Nuggets are probably going to have a say in who's going to win that Western Conference, no doubt about it.
Golden State right now, 2 games above 500, 29-27 in that 10th spot in the Western Conference. Standings, of course, top 10, make the play-in tournament. 7-10 will be in that play-in tourney. Golden State now, though, only a half game behind Los Angeles, that being the Lakers for what would be the 9th spot, still 3.5 games back of Dallas, who is in the 8th spot currently in the Western Conference. Very, very jumbled standings out west here in the home stretch. But only a half game distinction now between Los Angeles and Golden State as the Lakers lose by double digits last night on the road in Phoenix against the Suns. The Suns get their first victory following the All-Star break, winning by 10 in covering as a 3.5-point favorite, 123-113 last night at home in the Valley against LA.
I guess you could say as expected here, but also maybe you wanted a better performance out of the Los Angeles Lakers when the Phoenix Suns didn't have their big three in the lineup, but it certainly wasn't enough. Anthony Davis played 42 minutes in that game. LeBron James played 37 minutes in a loss. This is the same thing. It's like repeating this over and over and over. Sure, do you want to win these basketball games? Yes, but you sort of say to yourself, all right, at what cost do we have? Do the Lakers have to start to get into that mode, Ben, where it's like we're going to take our rest nights against the better teams in the Western Conference just to make sure we're able to handle our business against the teams we were supposed to beat here? Because I don't think the Lakers really are measuring themselves as to try to get a top four seed in the Western Conference. They should be resigned to the fact that maybe we can make a push for the six, but if not, it's key that we're just rested and healthy with our veteran team before we get to the playoffs here. I'm going to be interesting to see how they play this out, because as we took a look at it, coming out of the break, right, they played Golden State, they sat LeBron James, then they played LeBron James against the Spurs. So you're probably saying, hey, that's going to be a tough game regardless or not right out of the break against Golden State. Let's give LeBron James the rest on his ankle. Let's make sure on that back-to-back we win the Spurs game and not go 0-2 over that stretch if you played LeBron out of the break, then rested him against San Antonio. You're going to have to make some pretty shrewd decisions here down the stretch for the Lakers. I want to see how they handle it, but certainly last night, no surprise to me that there was a 10-point loss going up against Phoenix.
And both of the stars for L.A. last night were very good and very efficient. LeBron, 12 of 19 from the floor, 28 points, 12 dimes. Anthony Davis, yet another double-double, 22 points on 11 of 17 from the floor with 14 boards. And you look at the other side of the equation, Kevin Durant had 22, Devin Booker had 21, but Grayson Allen was the leading scorer out of the starting lineup with 24 points. It's just that every Suns starter, all five of them, scored at least 18 points, a very balanced effort out of Phoenix last night, who needed a victory, its first win since the All-Star break. That will be the interesting question for the Lakers, currently in the 9th spot, but you mentioned getting all the way up to the 6th. That's going to be a lot of ground to make up, a 3.5 game difference. Donnie, we're starting to see those groups emerge in the Western Conference. The top four teams, that being OKC, Minnesota, Denver, and the Clippers, all separated by only 2.5 games. Then there's a 4-game drop-off to the Pelicans and the Suns, who are in 5 and 6. Those four teams, Sacramento, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Dallas, Sacramento, now in that 5 spot. But those four teams are separated by a half game for spots 5 through 8. Of course, very important to stay out of the play-in tournament and get right into the playoffs from the very jump of the postseason. And oh, by the way, there's a tie at the top of the Western Conference right now. Minnesota and Oklahoma City share that first place spot, both at 40 and 17. That's where it stands. Again, a very jumbled and compact Western Conference where we look at the standings.
Yeah, 5 straight wins there for OKC, pushing Minnesota now to the brink on that number one spot. It'll be fun to watch those two teams play it out, but also keeping in mind last night with the Denver Nuggets and their victory over the Golden State Warriors, moving into a game and a half behind both of those leaders with the Wolves and OKC. But I think we'd start talking about the Lakers as we're just finishing up that game where you see them 10 games back. They're not going to get the number one overall seed. We understand that. But I know they had eyes on the prize to maybe get to that 6th seed here. But that loss to Phoenix, who's actually in the 6th seed, now puts them 3.5 games back. So it's something just to keep an eye on when you're trying to line up yourself and say, you know, can they actually make that run? Is it more important just to get to the playoffs and not play LeBron James and Anthony Davis close to 40 minutes a night just to try to get that 6th spot? A lot of interesting options here in the West, but I think we could still agree upon the Golden State Warriors sitting at 10th seed, Utah Jazz in the 11th seed here, which is 3 games back. I don't think Utah's going to push them. The Lakers are in it. Maybe they should just take a look at resting the rest of the way and getting ready for the playoffs, if you will.
Honestly, it seems like both of the conferences, the 10 teams that currently reside in either a playoff spot or a play-in spot, will be those 10 teams at the end of the regular season. It's just the order and the seeding of how we get there. One Los Angeles team, the Lakers, has dropped 2 of its 3 games following the All-Star break. Same for the other L.A. team, that being the Clippers. The Clips, a 5-point home favorite last night, they lose by 16 outright at home as Sacramento wins as the underdog, 123-107. Plenty more in the NBA coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a very jumbled Western Conference at this moment, and we start at the top. The Clippers now 2.5 games back of both Minnesota and Oklahoma City. The Timberwolves and the Thunder, 40-17, tied at the top. The Clippers have lost 2 of 3 games following the All-Star break, and rather surprisingly, last night at home, booked as a 5-point favorite, the Clippers lose outright by 16 points against the Sacramento Kings. The Kings, Donnie, 123-107, now 11-7 against the spread this year for Sacramento. 16 points, the margin, as a 5-point dog.
Yeah, take a look at Sacramento. I mean, it feels like it's one of those forgotten teams out west as they sit in the fifth seed here, but they can do some damage. They have some very good players in Sabonis on a night-to-night basis. It's almost like Jokic light, 17, 15, and 12, chipping in also with 3 steals here. We know you got De'Aaron Fox, who dropped 33 points last night, but also the question comes up similarly to the same team in Los Angeles, the Clippers and also the Los Angeles Lakers. How do you approach this final stretch? Now, the Clippers aren't going to find themselves, at least due to bad injuries and stumbles down the stretch, outside of the true playoffs there in the top 6. But how much do they want to press him, Ben, to try to get a higher seed? How important it is to get that higher seed and or to have your team rested and ready? Because as much as I talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, look, Anthony Davis and LeBron James need to be ready for the playoffs and completely healthy for them to have the chance to win a championship. Well, the same thing goes and maybe even more with the Clippers, because they're notorious for getting to the playoffs and missing their superstars here. Now you have 3 superstars. It's a question of how much effort you want to put in down the stretch to win basketball games or just stay sharp, stay in the top 5 in the seedings here and see if you can advance. That's a good win for the Kings. And also keep in mind, that wasn't a Kings team at home lighting the beam. That was going on the road there to Crypto.com Arena and pulling away with that victory. Impressive nonetheless here, but I'm more interested to see how the Clippers play these final 20 or so odd games down the stretch.
So again, the 4 teams at the top of the Western Conference, Minnesota, OKC, same record. Denver, 1.5 back. LA, now 2.5 back of that top spot. If you remember last week at this time, looking at where the NBA stood following the All-Star break and All-Star weekend, it was Minnesota, the favorite to be the number 1 seed. Los Angeles had the second best price. Now it's Oklahoma City, favored to be the number 1 seed in the Western Conference, just a 15-cent difference at +165 for the Thunder to where the Timberwolves are at +180. Those 4 teams jumbled and separated by only 2.5 games. It's a 4-game drop off from LA as the 5 seed to Sacramento, or LA as the 4 seed to Sacramento as the 5 seed. Then it's the Kings, the Suns, the Pelicans, all the same kind of record at this moment, just differing amounts of games and win percentages. And then to the Dallas Mavericks, who are 7 games back at the top, but only a 0.5 game back from where those 3 other teams are, Sacramento, New Orleans, and Phoenix. If it gets confusing, don't worry. We have some time to iron it all out. But the Mavericks were the hottest team in the Western Conference, winners of 7 straight games. That came to a close last night in Indianapolis. The Pacers win big by 22, 133-111, outright as a 2-point home underdog. Indiana now 16-16 straight up this year as an underdog, an even .500 record outright when booked as a dog.
Look, hard to win on the road in the NBA, we know that. Against a decent team in the Pacers, now rounding into form and looking to be healthy down the stretch. But you also got 29 points out of Kyrie Irving and then 33 points out of Luka Doncic here, which still wasn't enough. And all of a sudden, look, 10 of 22 from the field for Irving, 10 of 21 for Doncic. We know the Mavericks are going to go only as far as those two guys, but you still got to get some help from around you. You know, Washington, 2 points in the starting lineup. Lively, 4 points here. At least Green had 14 points. We didn't get much off the bench either at that point. When you're going against a team that likes to get up and down with tempo here, it's going to stress your superstars. Now, in that game, at least you didn't play a ton of minutes. Kyrie got 32 minutes, and Luka Doncic got 33 minutes as you move on. But it's hard to have win streaks in the NBA as you're trying to approach 10 or so games. That wasn't going to happen for the Dallas Mavericks. No shame in their game losing to the Pacers, but I do find this win intriguing for the Pacers because there's a lot of teams. We used to talk about the Celtics, and it's can the Bucks get together. But there's a handful of teams there that are saying, you know what? If the cards go our way here and we stay healthy, maybe we can be exciting in the playoffs, and the Pacers certainly are, Ben, one of those teams.
Absolutely so. 8 games above 500. Dallas still 9 games above 500. Indiana has won both of its games following the All-Star break. They have covered in both. They scored 133 points at home last night in Indy. But with a total of 251, the game still stayed under. Under in 5 of the last 6 for Indiana. Under in 6 of the last 8 for Dallas, who had covered in 6 of the 7 games that they had won in a row. 62 combined out of Luka and Kyrie. Every member of the Pacers starting 5 scoring at least 12 points, led by Miles Turner, 33 points yesterday, 10 of 15 from the floor, 11 of 12 from the charity stripe for the big man for Indiana. A welcome back to Philadelphia, kind of, for Doc Rivers, who was booed as he led his Milwaukee team into Philly last night. But a good start, at least, for the Bucks following the All-Star break and a big win yesterday against Philadelphia on the road. 119-98. Milwaukee covers as a 4.5-point favorite in the city of brotherly love. So both of the games for the Bucks following the All-Star break on Friday in Minneapolis, they went outright as an underdog. Yesterday in Philly, they went outright and cover as a 4.5-point road favorite.
Yeah, stack up some wins, get those good vibes in the room. That was a really good win against the Timberwolves, which I thought they would be able to cover that game, and they ended up winning outright. Yeah. You figured that would be a walk in the park, even though it was only a 4.5-point spread as the Bucks were favored on Sunday. But the 76ers are just waiting for Joel Embiid to come back. Now, also, you try to get some tickets, and here's how I'm going to approach the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm like, you know what? I want to place a wager on the Sixers here to win the NBA championship. Not only that's crazy, they can't even get past the second round even when they're healthy. I understand that. But their price point is getting so low at this point. The timing is when you actually fire on this. So I wanted to do it over the weekend. I said, no. Let me take a look at who they're playing. They played the Bucks yesterday, which I thought would be a loss. Coming up next on their schedule is a game, I believe it's on the road against the Boston Celtics. That's going to be a loss as well. So after that Celtics game, I will bet the Philadelphia 76ers to win the NBA championship. And hopefully it's an even better price than 30-1 to see if I can get to the playoffs and win 2 rounds with a healthy Joel Embiid that's supposed to be back in the month of March, just to make some money on that ticket. The price point is crazy because we know now this isn't the 76ers team that we're probably going to see in the month of April if Joel Embiid is back healthy, and that's the price point. Otherwise, what are you looking at? 16-1, 17-1. You're getting, you know, $14, $15 there on the back end, and I think you're going to get a pretty good four of the Sixers. And also, Ben, as we're talking about, stepping up, Tyrese Maxey playing that lead role here, Buddy Hield filling in as well, Kelly Oubre. They'll be better for this because their minutes have been increased and their offensive opportunities to stay sharp will be there once Joel Embiid does come back here. So I'm not looking for the Sixers right now. I'll wait till they lose to the Celtics, then I'll take the Philadelphia 76ers at hopefully a better than 30-1 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, 18-1 right now, the number on the 76ers, sixth best around the Eastern Conference. But Philly right now, at least from the win-loss perspective in those Eastern Conference standings, in the 5 spot, they have a game and a half lead over the Heat, who sit in the 7 spot to stay out of the Eastern Conference play-in tournament. Philly, though, has dropped 11 of its last 15 games, 13 of those without Joel Embiid. Meanwhile, for Milwaukee, is this the time? Now under Doc Rivers, 2 straight wins following the All-Star break, a cover in both, one as a dog, one as a favorite. Milwaukee, where things stand, 37-21, 16 games above 500, plus 270 to win the NBA's Eastern Conference crown. But as we have said, the Celtics, the hottest team in the NBA, the best team in the NBA, they've won 8 straight. They've won both of their games following the All-Star break, the only team with more than 40 wins in the association. Plus 105 right now, Donnie, for the Celtics, quickly approaching even and then maybe minus money and not all that long.
Yeah, and again, you might say to yourself right now, yes, they are far and away the best team in the Eastern Conference, but still, you got to knock teams like the Bucks out in 7 games, which means you must beat them 4 times at least in those 7 games. And we still have a long way to go. Yeah. We know injuries do creep in and how well you're playing. So for myself, yes, I do think Boston is going to win the Eastern Conference, but that betting price is just not bettable at this point here because you're tying your money up for far too long in order to get around a plus 100, which is ridiculous. We'll see where the Celtics go, but for me, I just can't lay a wager on them at this point, I bet.
It is really interesting to see where the Bucks are in comparison to Boston. Again, plus 105 to plus 270, but nearly a $5 drop off to the Knicks, who have the third best price to win the East at plus 750. Again, the odds makers, even despite the tumultuous season for Milwaukee, really putting the Bucks where we expected them to be, just a little bit behind Boston in terms of winning an Eastern Conference title. The Atlanta Hawks entered yesterday as the NBA's worst cover team in the association, 17-39 against the spread. Orlando was the best cover team in the NBA, 37-20, but a peculiar line without Paolo Banchero for Orlando, 2-point home favorite for Atlanta, and they win and cover that number. DeJounte Murray, nearly a triple-double last night, even without Trae Young, as the Hawks win by 17, 109-92, covering as a 2-point home favorite.
Yeah, and again, the Atlanta Hawks a little bit lucky that nobody's really going to push to try to get into that play-in round. So maybe the Hawks could solidify that just by playing under 500 basketball down the stretch is probably feasible. That's a pretty good win here. And also one of the better cover teams in the NBA, the Orlando Magic, without their superstar, Paolo Banchero. I thought the Atlanta Hawks would be game in this. I didn't think they would win by this much of a margin. So a good win for the Atlanta Hawks post Trae Young, which looks to be right around a 3 to 4 week injury for him to get back in the lineup.
Again, one of those lines that stands out. So Orlando no longer the best cover team in the NBA.
Yeah.
That is OKC, 36-20-1 for the Thunder against the spread. And Oklahoma City on a heater. They have won five straight, including a 13-point road win last night in Houston. The Thunder cover as a 6.5-point favorite. They have won both of their games following the All-Star break, has OKC covering in both. Now to college basketball. We enter the zone for the weekend that was. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a weekend it was around college basketball. And that's been a similar theme that we've had here in the month of February. But the month of February is soon coming to a close. Just 4 days left in this month before Friday, when your alarm clock will sound like the NCAA tournament is about to begin. That is the month of March. That is when madness intensifies in college hoops. Before we get there, one final weekend in the month of February to break down and recap for you here on this Monday on the early line. One of the best games of the weekend, a top 15 tilt early on a Saturday afternoon. A top 15 matchup in Waco between Baylor and Houston. And Houston was in control for most of the game. That was the case until late in the second half, when Baylor responded. The Cougs had a 15-point lead at the break. Baylor comes all the way back to force overtime. Houston outlasts Baylor in OT, winning by 6, 82-76, covering as a 2.5-point road favorite in Waco. A wild game, but it shows the resolve of the number two team in the country, who probably, when the AP poll is released later this afternoon, Donnie, that being Houston, will be the number one team in the country entering the week of March.
Yeah, big-time win for them coming into that game, a couple-point underdog here, the Baylor Bears. And on Friday, we're trying to take a look and preview this game. I like the Baylor Bears. Now, as I was sitting at a soccer game watching this through my phone, look at that. Houston, just a better basketball team, up double digits at the break. What are you going to do? And then he kept checking back in, and Baylor was chipping away at that lead. And then finally, all you had to do, Ben, was sink a free throw with under 5 seconds to go, and you would have knocked off the Houston Cougars. Couldn't do it in that time frame. The Houston Cougars go into overtime, win that session 13-7, and away they go. But as I was trying to break this game down, I thought it would come down to the three-point shot, and I said to myself, can Baylor just be average from three-point range? They shot 40% from three-point range, which is above their average in Big 12 play. They also shot 82% from the free throw line and close to 44% for the game. That should have been good enough to win. So you say to yourself, where was this game lost here for Baylor? Just like in football, you take a look at the turnover battle. 8 turnovers for Houston on the road, 19 turnovers for Baylor at home. That'll do you in every single time, but a heady, gutsy win by the Houston Cougars on the road to Waco.
And part of that speaks to how Kelvin Sampson coaches his basketball teams. They are tenacious on the defensive end of the floor. Houston's still the best defense in the country, according to KenPom, but Houston has started to play a ton of overs. Of course, this game into overtime, but going over a total of 130 and a hook. Houston has won 5 straight. They have gone over in 6 of their last 7. The Cougs now 11-3 straight up in Big 12 play. They're a minus 450 favorite with a game lead over Iowa State to win the Big 12 regular season crown in its very first year in the Big 12. But what a game it was on Saturday. Later on Saturday at Rupp Arena in Lexington, it was a high-tempo, up-pace, offensive affair between Kentucky and Alabama. Not even in overtime, but going well over a total of 174.5. Kentucky puts up 117 points against Alabama. 117. If you watch the NBA, that might be a low-scoring game. If you watch college basketball, you do not often see that many points scored by one team or combined as Kentucky wins and covers as a 2.5-point home favorite inside Rupp.
Yeah, by the way, they actually hit that century mark with like 7 or 8 minutes to go in that game. So it was like, hey, you get that 100th point with like 30 seconds to go. 117 points against a quality opponent in Alabama. The one thing we did talk about on Friday was we were going to get tempo in this game. We certainly did right off the bat. 58 points for Kentucky in the first half, only bettered by one more point in the second half, and with 59 points. But I also say this year, a little bit upset. You know the way I was talking last week. I'm like, you know what? Come on, Alabama, knock off Kentucky. This is one of the teams that I need to see a couple more losses because I know the top shelf upside of Kentucky is so much fun to watch. You see that score, and that's going to make it rounds in the betting markets and say, hey, maybe Kentucky can go on a run in March Madness. I actually wanted to see them lose here, but I hope, quote unquote, the cat isn't out of the bag here. I want to see some losses for Kentucky down the stretch so we can get back to those price points around 40-1 and 45-1 as opposed to dipping closer to 30-1 here.
Yeah. Now, here's what we need to pay attention to, though, in terms of those deep runs. Alabama, most efficient offense in the country, one of the 20th fastest tempos in all of college basketball. Kentucky, top 10 offense, one of the 20 fastest tempos in all of college basketball. But both teams rank outside of the top 75 when it comes to defensive efficiency. That is not a good makeup generally for making a very deep run. I'm talking Elite Eight, Final Four, National Championship contender in March, winning a couple of games, getting to the second weekend, fine. Being a Final Four team, not so much. When you look at these two teams, 27 games for both. Alabama has gone over in 20 of 27. Kentucky now 19 of 27. They are two of the 9 teams around the country in college basketball at the D1 level that have played 70% or more of their games to the over. They are 2 of 3 power conference teams, high major teams, along with Illinois, to play 70% or more of their games to an over. Always up tempo. Now, there's a big picture conversation to be had following the end result of Wake Forest and Duke on Saturday evening. We start with the game, and then we'll get to the court storm. Wake Forest wins at home 83-79, covering as a 2.5-point home favorite. The kids should pay attention to the betting odds before you storm the floor. Snapping a 5-game win streak for the Duke Blue Devils, Hunter Salas, the native of Omaha, Nebraska, and a Millard North alum, 29 points, a game high for the Demon Deeks, who've now won 5 of their last 7. Game goes over 150.5. Again, Duke had won 5 straight. They had covered in 5 in a row. They had gone under in 5 straight on the win streak as well. Wake wins outright and covers as a 2.5-point home favorite on Saturday against the Dukies.
Big win for Wake now. Improves them to 18-9 on the season, but also 10-6 in conference play in the ACC. Back in the day, as I like to say, maybe even 10 years ago, 10-6 in the ACC, you're printing your way into the actual March Madness tournament without that at-large bid. You're going to get the at-large bid as opposed to the automatic bid that might be required now. But that's a big win. But also, we are going to talk about what happened post-game and what can be said and done about that. But that's a good win for the Wake Forest team, the Deacons, and we've seen it a lot this season. The unranked team at home going against the ranked team. In this one, they were laying points here and still got that late cover as well. Good win for Wake Forest. Duke, look, you're going to be losing some of these games. Now dropping to 12-4 in conference play, they're getting to the tournament, but that's a nice win for Wake Forest. They needed that win to help solidify that final resume.
Wake was expected to win. Again, they were a 2.5-point home favorite despite being unranked against one of the hottest teams in their conference, the Duke Blue Devils. When you have a home unranked favorite against a road-ranked underdog in the month of February, that home favorite is now 8-3 straight up, 7-4 against the spread. That is how good those trends are. We will get to the court storm in just a little bit. But I will say my biggest issue with the court storm is a team rushing the court when they were booked as a favorite to win outright. It could be very easily done, as we have seen put into place with court storms here in 2024. It is on the arena security to have a safe exit route for the opposing road team, which we have seen time and again. That was not the case, sadly, in Winston-Salem on Saturday.
No, it certainly wasn't. And also, there are ways that you can get around this, but I think we can all agree. We did put a poll out here at Sports Grid TV on X here to see what your thoughts would be on that as well. Should it be time to stop, yes or no, here, these court stormings? I like the pageantry of the court storm, but it's apparent that it's getting way out of hand at this point. And Saturday, maybe a culmination of that, because typically we see, like, the fans hit the court and they're just looking to run to the center. The players are already gone, but this one just looked like an absolute avalanche, as if it was like a movie set where teams and players were just sprinting to the middle of the court, running like 4.4 40s, not giving a damn if there were players after whoever they would run into. I think this is one of those options where we do see now, you know, schools getting fined $50,000, $100,000 for these fines. They're going to start docking them penalties like, hey, if you storm the court, you might not be able to play in your conference tournament moving forward. Do I think it should get that salacious? No, I don't. But it has to stop. There are ways that we're going to talk about how they can still have this fun but still be a safe environment. But what happened at Wake Forest was absolutely egregious and crazy that maybe somebody didn't get hurt worse. Or even if you don't know what's going on, as you saw John Shire leave the bench after the game was over, like, wait, my player's getting carried off the court. What's going on? That's when teams and players just start throwing bombs at fans and it turns into a malice at the palace. And it's not the player's fault.
Absolutely so. Donnie is completely spot on. Of course, a lot of this conversation culminated with seeing Kyle Filipowski, the star big for Duke, in a collision with a Wake Forest student and fan rushing the court. Wake Forest kids were out there before we had triple zeros in regulation. A poor job by arena security to keep them off the floor and not allow a safe exit. Kyle Filipowski did tweak his knee. We will update his status as he moves forward in that collision with a fan. There were videos highlighting one way or the other who you believe is at fault. Nobody, the fan, nor especially Filipowski, should be put in that situation where we even have to delve out blame on who initiated the collision. It shouldn't happen in the first place, and that is pretty clear to see if you argue against it either which way. We'll go to Sunday action in college basketball now. Purdue on the road, kind of, in Ann Arbor against Michigan. A Michigan team that made the Sweet 16 2 years ago. A Michigan team that played in the national championship game less than 7 years ago. A Michigan team that was in the Elite Eight 3 years ago and now can't even field a home court advantage against one of the top five teams in the country, as it sounded like Mackey Arena yesterday inside the Chrysler Center. Purdue wins 84-76. Zach Edey posts a double-double of 35 points and 15 boards. However, the Maize and Blue do cover as a 13.5-point underdog. 20 losses this year for Juwan Howard and the Wolverines. It has been a dismal season. Just 3-14 in Big Ten action. However, the only bright spot, the first cover for Michigan in any of the 20 losses so far this season.
But also a bright spot here because it was sort of embarrassing, right? You're supposed to have a crazy home court atmosphere, which turns out that Purdue fans came in and bought the tickets up and were cheering louder than the home crowd. If you are a Michigan backer, you're like, you know what? I like this here. And say, well, why would you like getting beat and being embarrassed? Because that forces change at the end of the season. Maybe get a new head coach and you can start to look forward to some things, as opposed to, hey, Michigan got hot at the end of the season, won three of their last four games in the Big Ten, made the run all the way to the semi. in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. Juwan Howard says to the podium, look, we just had some down times this year. Trust me for one more year. No, it seems like Michigan is at rock bottom. A change will be made in the offseason, but also credit Purdue for going on the road and helping force that change. Edie was tremendous yesterday with a road victory as they improved to 14-3 now in the Big Ten.
14-3 in the Big Ten, 8-9 against the spread in conference action. Very much in control of the top spot for the Boilers. If Rick Pitino is wearing an all-white suit inside Madison Square Garden, it's going to be very difficult for the road team to pick up a win. And that was the case on Sunday. St. John's 80-66. The victory over Creighton. The Johnnies went outright as a 2.5-point home dog inside MSG. Baseball news to end out this opening hour. Finally, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here to end out this opening hour of a Monday on the early line on SportsGrid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. The hot stove wasn't really all that hot throughout the winter, the offseason in Major League Baseball. Of course, the big signings that we have with the likes of Shohei Ohtani going to the Dodgers. But those other key marquee free agents really had been at a standstill thanks to the super agent Scott Boras as we approach spring training. And now with spring training games already in action, we finally got some news yesterday. Cody Bellinger is back in Chicago, signing a three-year deal worth $80 million with the Cubs, but there is an opt-out after each and every season of that deal. So really, it's a string of one-year deals, not the long-term big extension that Bellinger was hoping for with the Cubs. A lot of that has been tied to Scott Boras and his negotiating power here approaching the real beginnings of a Major League Baseball season.
It's not bad, though, because you get to make the decision on if you have a very good season to opt out and potentially get paid more money. And also, I believe it's only the one-way opt-out from the players, where if you're terrible this year, the Cubs can't get out of that either. But if you're taking a look at that Cubs lineup, they need a Bellinger in the middle of that order. First five, certainly formidable now. Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, Ian Happ, Cody Bellinger, and Seiya Suzuki in that top five. If he wasn't there, there'd be a lot more question marks in that lineup. Seemed like the perfect fit for Bellinger was always going back to Chicago here, and he finds himself back in that four slot.
The Cubbies made a run to be in National League wild card contention toward the end of last year's Major League Baseball regular season, just falling short. I would expect Chicago to be in the running once again in the National League Central and in the NL wild card race. Notable remaining free agents like Bellinger, all four names you will see on this board are Scott Boras clients, namely Blake Snell, the National League Cy Young winner from a season ago, Jordan Montgomery, Matt Chapman, and J.D. Martinez. Where exactly is their leg to stand on? And their negotiating power and leverage entering the early portion of spring training. Similar conversations in the NFL when hour two starts in 55 seconds.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.